of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And this is Memorial Day weekend, and I do pray that you are planning on celebrating safely. And I hope that you get to enjoy some time with your family and friends, and you do remember that the loved ones that we've had that have given their lives so that we could maintain the freedom that we have here. And so if you've got a loved one that's passed away, might help if you just spend some time passing along some of that information to your loved ones. Like I told you on another program, I had a friend of mine who had a brother that passed away in Vietnam. And I never knew it until, you know, a few decades later when she posted it on Facebook. But I had family members that served, and they have now passed away. And so it's just a good thing to remember. It is not just the launching pad of summer. It is a time when we remember things that have happened before with the intention of not ever having to go through those sorts of things again. So happy Memorial Day to you. Do stay safe, and I pray that you would make God a priority. Last Sunday for us was, well, it was for everybody, Pentecost Sunday. For Pentecostals, that's a you know, wonderful, wonderful day. We had a guest speaker I had invited to come and preach for Pentecost Sunday for us. And I'll be preaching this Sunday, and then next Sunday next week has not only a day off on Monday, but on Tuesday is a momentous day for my wife and I, and so we are looking forward to celebrating what God put together many, many, many years ago. Tuesday's our anniversary, and so for that we are very, very thankful. Today I want to take you to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, Proverbs, chapter 2. And as you are turning there, I want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have any block or concrete work that you need done, give them a call. They have lots and lots of experience, and you will want to put that experience for you. They are not afraid to get up early and start early. In summer like this, when you are working with concrete, it becomes more resistant to your efforts a lot quicker in the heat. And so you really need somebody who knows what they're doing. You don't need somebody that's going to be working on that project and right in the middle of it say, oh, you know what? I've got to go take a 15-minute break, or concrete's not going to wait for you like that. And so if you've got a project that is coming up, give them a call, 321-536-5804. And do keep in prayer all of those who are out working in the brutal heat that we face, the heat, the humidity, the sun, roofers, concrete people, road crews, block masons, any of those sorts of people. We were at our grandson's t-ball game here not too long ago, and they were constructing a building right there beside the ball field, and I saw the size of the blocks, and they weren't, you know, the typical cinder block. And a typical cinder block is, you know, that will get my attention, these were like a cinder block and a half. And I told the guys when I walked by to get the car, I was like, man, those look like they're pretty substantial. Those look like they probably weigh a pound or two. And they kind of chuckled. Yeah, they're a little on the heavy side. So pray for those guys that are out there, that they stay safe and stay hydrated, and thank them for what they do. So Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804 for all of your block or concrete work needs. Proverbs chapter 2. Remember, we were yesterday in Proverbs chapter 1, where it was disclosed that these are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. The purpose was to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And yesterday we were talking how justice is not a standalone principle. It's not siloed and compartmentalized, but instead it works in conjunction with wisdom and instruction and understanding and judgment and equity, and it serves a purpose. Chapter 2, verse number 1 says this, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." So Solomon starts off this particular chapter here, and he says, if you receive my words, if you receive my words. The art of reception is very, very important. Some people receive things as a mandate they don't want to do, but they do it and they say, fine, I'll do it because I've got to, because I got to have the paycheck. Other people receive instruction. They receive the word of God as the words of life, that knowing that this is not something that is detrimental to your life, but actually beneficial to your life. And so if you see the person who received, let me see if I can explain this. I received a car when I was 16. I paid for part of it. My dad paid for part of it. And it was not my dream car. It was a car my dad was driving because he had bought it before my birthday, but he had bought it for me for my birthday. I just was unaware. But it was a convertible. I would love to have that car back today. But the day that they presented that to me, it was, I got a car for my, I really wasn't expecting a car for my birthday. That wasn't anything that I thought was going to happen. We were not people of great financial means or anything like that. And this was a $900 car, I think it was. But the day that I received it, I mean, they've got pictures of me with my really bad hair, all dressed for school, going out that day and finding that they had parked the car right in front of the front door, so that when I walked out, we lived out in the country, so they could do that. So that when I walked out the door, there it was right there in front of me. And I was so happy to receive that. Then there was a story several years ago about a young man, I believe it was, who had received a high-end luxury automobile for his birthday, brand new. And it just wasn't the right brand. And so he went out and wrecked it. I remember another story. You know, he was more ungrateful for a car, and I don't remember the brands or anything like that. He was more ungrateful for the car he had received. I mean, I've never had a brand new car. I've got the newest car that I ever have had right now. It was 2 or 3 years old when I got it, and it's a nice little car. I'm very grateful for it, especially in the summertime. My previous car had no air conditioning. This car has air conditioning. I love that. It was a blessing from God. I remember also a story about a young lady who, for her birthday, she received a brand new car, and she was extremely ungrateful because it was the wrong color. And she wanted a different color. And she just threw a temper. We look at that and we say, how childish, how selfish, how immature. But how do we receive the Word of God? Do we receive it as the life-giving truth, or are we receiving it like the snot-nosed brat child that says, you know what? I don't like that word. I don't want that word. And so he says, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. So this art of reception sets us up for a repositioning of ourselves. It says, treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom. We are inclined to sin pre-Christ. We should be inclined to righteousness after accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We should be inclined to hearing the word of truth rather than hearing a lie. We should be inclined to wisdom rather than foolishness. We should be inclined to purpose. There should be a complete change in demeanor because of the way that we receive the word of God. There should also be a change in the way that we apply ourselves. It says in verse number 2, apply your heart to understanding. So there is the inclination, there is an ear to hear, but there is also an applying of your heart to understand. So I was watching a video. It was an instructional video. We provide all of our visitors that come to Merit Assembly of God with a subscription to this media service. It's like kind of like one of those streaming libraries, only instead of you paying for it, the church, Merit Assembly of God, pays for it. And so all of the people who attend Merit Assembly of God have access to these media. They can watch it whenever they want. And so I was watching one of them, it talked about how you have to. Oh, he was talking about a person who was working very, very hard in a class, and the best grade he could ever get was a C. And he was quite frustrated because there were other people in the class who weren't studying very hard, and they were getting an A. They had a natural understanding of the subject. For me, math was one of those subjects. If I needed a boost in my GPA, I took a math class because math just came easy for me. So the instructor said, okay, well, you know, so you're getting a C according to the grade scale, and they're getting an A. How does that make you feel? And he said, frustrated, because I'm working way harder at it than what they are. And so the instructor said, well, how much are you applying yourself to this class? And he said, I'm applying myself probably 100%. And he said, well, you're probably not 100. Okay, 95%. I'm applying myself to do the best that I can to get a C. And he said, okay, so here's your application level, and you're at 95%. Okay? And let's look at these people over here, and they're getting a 95 in the class. How much do you think that they're applying themselves? And he said, they're not applying themselves at all. And he said, well, they're probably applying themselves. Okay, they're applying themselves 50% of the time. And so he said, okay, so we're going to put them at 50% application. And he said, so now if we took your 95% and measured against their 50%, and that was the grading scale, what grade would you be getting? And he said, well, 95 would be an A. And he said, well, what would a 50 be? And he said, a 50 would be an F. And all of a sudden, the light bulb went on. You see, there are people with certain aptitudes and understandings that not all of us are going to have. Kobe Bryant and his daughter were killed in a helicopter crash along with several other people a little over a year ago. And I watched a little bit of the news coverage of that. And I said, as I sat there, I was watching a video of him coaching his daughter playing basketball. And he was teaching her things that no one ever taught me. And I was like, and just a little bit about Kobe Bryant. His father was a basketball player before him. And so he learned things from his father that he passed on to his daughter. And she was on a trajectory. She was applying herself to be very, very good at playing basketball. And when I looked at that, I said, wow, she has an advantage. She is a privileged basketball player because she is getting instruction that not everybody else is going to be able to get. But she was applying herself. You know, and you and I, we need to be applying ourselves to wisdom. I find it a little bit sad that, you know, the people who name Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we apply ourselves so lackadaisically to understanding biblical wisdom and biblical justice. We really ought to be applying ourselves more in that area. And so take advantage of the privileges that you have been given by being born in America. We have churches that we can go to. I mean, there are churches all over the place. You probably drive by 50 churches a day if you travel any length of time at all, and you may not even be aware of it. My wife and I went driving down a road and saw a sign for a church. Been in Brevard County for, you know, let's see, a long time. Over 3 decades we've been in Brevard County. And it's like, I never knew that church was there. And it was like, huh, never would have thought of putting a church there. But there it was. There was a church. You drive by those things, and I wonder how many of us are making the most of the application. I'm setting the stage here because we ought to be among the foremost experts when it comes to justice on the planet, because justice originates with God. Justice is maintained and sustained by God, and justice culminates and God being declared righteous and just and all that he does. We need to be applying ourselves to understanding that. And as a result of that, it's going to create a longing inside of us. It says in verse 3, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, seek her as silver, search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's not that it is hard to find. We just have to apply ourselves. I remember a roommate that I had in Bible college. We had grown up together. I mean, his parents are still alive. They're blessed with long genes. And his dad wrote him letters. And I found out from his older brother, his dad wrote him letters too. Those letters had different instructions in them because of different things that they were going through. And you know, the ones, the older one said, yeah, he was encouraging me with a kick in the pants to get on with my studies. But one of the things that he wrote to my roommate was this: if you apply yourself to any principle for an hour a day, just an hour a day, he said, within a few years, you will be one of the foremost experts in that field there is on the planet. Just an hour a day. I heard recently about a person, and very famous, very rich, and his words of advice were this. He said, if two of you are equal in your capacity, one will excel faster than the other because they're willing to apply themselves to a greater degree than what the other one will do. One of them may be looking to do a job. The other one may be looking to excel. Are you crying out? Do you look at the Word of God and say, you know what? There is treasure to be gained here. I still have a daughter. She's married, moved away. But when she was growing up, she and I would go for walks. She was one of the only ones that, without dogs, that just wanted to go for a walk with me. Walking is one of the things that I do for exercise. And so she would go with me for walks. And almost every time that she went with me for a walk, she would find money. Sometimes it would be coins. Sometimes it would be dollars. One time she found $20. It's like, sure, you come with me on this walk. And you know, another time she found five. There was one walk we had where she found money on multiple occasions. I find a penny that was upside down that nobody wanted to pick up because it's upside down. I picked it up. You know why? Because it was a penny. Whenever we cry out to God and say, God, the knowledge of you is worth more than any financial benefit, than anything else. What if I told you that pursuing God had greater benefit than an extra 15 minutes of sleep on Sunday morning? What if I told you that pursuing God was more valuable than staying out late on a Saturday night? What if I told you that the Word of God was more valuable than sitting there watching reality television? Which would you choose? Which would you choose? These are the types of reasons that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. Just as we talked about on yesterday's program, justice is not a standalone principle. You can't just say, well, I want justice, but I don't want wisdom. I want justice, but I don't want any understanding. I just want justice. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. And so it says here, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Those are three very valuable commodities, and they come from God. They are a gift from God. God has them waiting there for us if we will pursue him. Now, I know from, you know, a few decades of pastoral experience on holidays a lot of people are going to be out of town. They're going to be away from church. So I'm not saying this as a guilt trip or anything like that. I'm saying this as a motivation for the days ahead, and that is this. I would like to ask you to consider applying yourself and being diligent to receive the gifts that God has, the gift of his word, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of understanding. And the only place that you can find them is from the word of the Lord. From the word of the Lord. You realize Monday will be the end of May. We will already be, on Tuesday, we will be wrapping up beginning the sixth month of the year. We're almost half of the way through the year. Why don't we set out to make the last half of the year a season of profound spiritual growth and maturity? It's never too late. Never, ever too late. You never know. I preached a message one time. The next day, a person showed up at my door, and they said, I've got a question for you. And they asked me a question, and the answer was the message I'd preached the day before. And so because I had applied myself before, I was able to give them an answer that day. God bless you. You have a great weekend. By the way, we do not have church this Sunday night. We do have Sunday morning at 10:30. Hope to see you then. If not, we'll be back here Monday on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Just to be